hit music, movies, food, sports, and more.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
WMFO Medford.
So the loonies are outside in the real world, and here we are with the keys to the loony bin, boys.
This is yours, whether you win or lose. But if you win, get hurt too.
Somebody please find Ja Rule, get hold of this mother. I can make sense of all this. Where is Ja?
Hey, Monica. What's up, baby?
What's your problem? You didn't win.
Bad wings.
And good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO. Metro 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. I am Matt.
I'm also Matt.
And we are back after another little hiatus.
Ooh, it feels so good to be back.
That was Destined to Never Dies. That was Earliest off their newly released EP called Prelude, which came out on April 22nd, and that was the song End Times. We played another track off that album for you, the single that dropped a few months ago. And anyway, now the EP is officially out, so we played another song for you. And that's how we're kicking things off here. A lot of things have happened since we've been on the air, which we'll get to in a second. But if you want to chime in, numbers here are 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. We're also on Facebook, Brutal Brunch Radio, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Everywhere.
And we will have, basically as the show works, it's an hour of Massachusetts metal.
Monica!
We have our This Week in Metal History. We have our metal concert calendar. We have a black metal song of the week. All that to get to.
Yes,
as you heard in our intro, Ja Rule is in the news this week.
Is he ever? Holy moly.
Matt, do you want to explain why?
I guess that Fire Festival, which I didn't even know was happening.
Was it Fry Festival? I don't even know.
I think it's fire with a Y, because like everything is the worst. But it was like on a private island in the Bahamas, allegedly it was supposed to be. It was like $12,000 ticket packages. The performers were suspect. It was like Ja Rule and Blink-182.
Blink-182 is not suspect, though. That's a good
sus.
They pulled out before the show started, though.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, people started pulling out, then I guess, some of the stories that we were seeing yesterday, that it was like a Lord of the Flies.
Matt got fooled by a lot of fake news.
Yeah, I really got fake news. I really feel pretty bad, because I wanted it to be true. Much like, I guess, like your uncle wants it to be true, like all those like Red State News on Facebook. But but essentially, like, it came down to like nothing was ready. There were supposed to be like villas.
It was basically a bunch of rich white kids went down to be like Bonnaroo in the Bahamas.
And
they had FEMA tents for their luxury tents.
And no
food. Their gourmet food was like two slices of bread and a slice of cheese.
Yeah, so good. Oh my God, it was amazing. But anyway, then none of the performers showed up, and then many of them didn't get paid.
Yeah,
anyway.
A bunch of broken contracts. Bunch of like non-band companies too pulled out, because they're like, the organizers didn't return our calls, so we didn't do anything.
Yeah, so it's like someone's going to get sued. So
that's what
be
happens
exciting.
when these tech bros try to do stuff.
It is what happens. It happens, and it brings me joy, and Ja Rule. And then you were saying about Ja Rule that you forgot. You said, why? Were you concerned, why is Ja Rule not in the other Fast and Furious movies?
I was saying this is like his revenge, because Fast and Furious, obviously the latest movie's out.
It's
a big successful franchise. And
yes,
he was only in, as you heard in the intro, he was only in one scene in this whole
what
franchise.
What a scene, though. What an amazing
it was a good
scene. My understanding with that Ja Rule in Fast and Furious, and I think there was an article that came out a couple of years ago, was that he was offered essentially the Ludacris position. But wanted way, way more money.
It's a good career choice.
And yeah, I mean, Murder, Inc. is doing well, obviously. And Ja Rule took it and has walked his way to millions. I believe Tyrese is a billionaire due to his investment in Beats by Dre headphones. There you go.
So that's why we're talking about Ja Rule today. What a story.
Delicious.
And you were also reminded about the wars that we're still perpetually in.
Man, we are in a lot of wars forever. I was thinking about
we're still in Afghanistan. We just sent more troops.
No one even cares. I was watching, like I like to do when I have the house to myself and I have to do laundry or something.
You mean Maggie doesn't put these on?
No. And I'm doing some laundry and I'm like, what's on the WWE Network? Throw it on there. Armageddon 2003, a classic pay-per-view. Like, I like to watch those ones because I didn't get to see them because I was in high school and it was like, can I spend $70 on a pay-per-view? They'd be like, absolutely not. So now that I have everything, I'm like, I'm going to watch them all now. But it was like December 13, 2003. That morning, the U.S. Army captured Saddam Hussein. So it was the most balls-out patriotic, as patriotic as wrestling gets, and then like plus 100. But there was like signs in the crowd that had like, step one, Iraq, with like a big X through it, and then like step two, Afghanistan. I'm like, oh, like 17 years later, I'm still there, buddy. But it was brutal. They made Lillian Garcia sing the national anthem, and it was horrible.
Really?
She's the worst.
She can sing sometimes. She sang other times.
I mean, she's a good. She had that album.
But you were saying she's very weird.
She has a weird style of dress, and I think what it is It's a real encapsulation of whatever the style was in the early 2000s, which was all like weird bangle necklaces and like kind of like leather dresses. It was just like outrageous. Like everything Lillian Garcia wears is a great encapsulation of what was wrong with fashion at that time.
Did you ever see when she got taken out by Charlie Haas?
No.
And like was on the mic screaming or something?
That's amazing. It was
very, very bizarre. She had some weird incidents there.
Poor Lillian.
But I was a fan.
Oh, she's fine.
And then some fake, I love fake news. You were all about the Radiohead cover.
Oh my God. So angry. So angry. And it took like a minute because it was like, you see these things on Twitter and it's like, Tom York covered Daddy Yankee's Gasolina. I'm like, yes, I love this. And then it was Tom York like bouncing around, whatever, doing his thing where he's like flailing and like whipping his head back and forth. And Gasolina, the greatest song from 2004. And I'm like, that's amazing. Retweet, email all my friends, look at Tom York. And then 2 seconds later, also on Twitter, was like this article from this Killjoy at NPR, like, that video was fake. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. So anyway, I choose to believe that's real. And I choose to believe.
That's what you can do now, though.
I'm enacting chaos magic, and I'm refusing to believe the facts, and I will make the facts. I want to believe that the Fyre Festival was run over by dogs and like
the feral dogs and
feral dogs, and there were fist fights over sandwiches.
People being locked in buildings and taken away by security.
And I would like to also believe that Tom York covered Daddy Yankee's Gasolina because that would be the only good song he's ever done.
Wow. Wow. That's a hot Radiohead take right there.
Radiohead's boring.
On that note, we're not going to play Gasolina, but we'll play another new song.
This is
going to go a little industrial here.
Ooh.
This is the song, the band Automaton. They have an album coming out not until June 25th, but we're going to play you a song right now. The album is called 3, like Roman numeral 3.
Nice.
: A New Life. And this is the song Breaking Free, and you're hearing it on Brew Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. But we got options tonight. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
That is the latest from the band Cheech. That was Out of Time off of Old Friend, which dropped April 21st.
I was just punching Matt in the neck the whole time.
That's what you want to do when you hear that. And before that, we had the latest from Automaton, Breaking Free, off their upcoming album, 3, A New Life.
It's got to be a concept album. We were talking. It's got to be like a Coheed thing.
There's a lot of Boston bands, a lot of local bands, I should say, doing that.
I love it.
I'm all about it.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
There's some concept albums coming up on Metal History.
Oh, did you just say?
Metal History!
This week in Metal, April 23rd to the 29th. April 23rd, I'm on Aux 2. April 23rd, 1986, Death Angel releases their debut album, A Bit of the Old Ultraviolence. That's not what it's called. It's called The Ultraviolence. Album was recorded while all members were under 20. Now it's kind of like a completely new band. It's doing it again. Hang on. Is it coming through? Aux 2? Nope. Why does it do this to me? Now it's like, you know, it's totally different guys. They're all old now. But,
Are you frozen?
No, it's playing. It's just like... Uno momento. Ooh, I see what the problem is here.
Were you muted?
Interesting thing about this song is it's featured in a Carl's Jr. commercial. That was the joke I wanted to get to. Is when you're like thinking about a nice barbecue thick burger, you get Death Angel. So Death Angel is from Bay Area. It's like your thrash metal scene, Exodus, Metallica, Death Angel.
They had an album last year.
They're still doing it. I still want to play a little bit because it's good. I think they're a little bit more complex for this era because it's 86 than like even like Exodus was. Like I think they have a little bit more math in their thrash, if that makes any sense. Does this make you hungry for a hamburger?
Only if it's surrounded by Paris Hilton in a bikini.
Yeah, Paris Hilton's eating
on a car.
Yeah.
With fireworks and guns going on.
Yeah, hell yeah. God, I hate everything. April 23rd, 2007, Czechoslovakian black metal band Root releases Diamond Vemen in the End. It's a really good album. Root is formed in 87 when its founding members Big Boss and guitarist Blackie meet. Obviously, Konami is cult because they named their character in the Metal Gear series Big Boss. So, and that came out, I think, a year before. So the real question is, are they fans of Metal Gear, or is Metal Gear fans of...
They're telling me Metal Gear is Swedish.
Root. Is Metal Gear Swedish? It's Japanese for sure.
No, I know. I'm saying.
Oh, you've heard Metal Gear Swedish? It is. This is a great album. I listened to the whole thing. It's very cult. It's very slow. It's very heavy. At the time, Big Boss was the founder of the Czechoslovakian Church of Satan, which he has since left because, like, organizations are weak. He's still a Satanist, but he's like too cult for Satan. He's like, you know what? I don't have time for this Church of Satan.
Now, today, would they be from the Czech Republic or Slovakia?
Can't tell you. Don't know. You know where they're from? Parts unknown. This is And They're Silent off of Damon Beeman. This is actually their fastest song. Most of the songs are just grueling.
It's pretty upbeat for black metal.
It's very upbeat for them too. Most of their songs are just him going like over like for like an hour. It's amazing. Speaking of black metal, April 23rd, 2007, the same day, In Sorte Diaboli, Dimmu Borgir's 8th studio album, In League with the Devil. This is the Chosen Legacy. A concept album, of course, where a priest loses his faith and then finds out the reason why he's having so many struggles with his faith is because he's the Antichrist. You could imagine that would happen. This is kind of my inroad. Like, this is so, if you can get as slow as like other Root stuff to as fast as like some Dimmu Borgir stuff, I go faster black metal. So more black and death metal, I guess you'd say.
Have you got their DVD, or did you purchase their DVD last night?
Not yet.
Their live DVD?
Not yet. I might though. But am I going to watch it? Am I going to put it in my Xbox and just watch it on TV? The answer is probably. Napalm Death, April 24th, 2005. It's like a totally different band, but... Napalm Death, extremely influential grindcore band formed in England in 86. It kind of still sounds like this, though,
pretty
in fairness. It's like totally new members now, but it is what it is. This is The Code is Red, Long Live the Code, from their release of April 24th, 2005. In kind of thinking about Napalm Death, I remembered a clip from the Arsenio Hall show where Jim Carrey actually talks about how much he likes Napalm Death.
I love music. I love every kind of music, but recently I've really started to get into this thrash metal music.
Very political, too.
There's something about it, man, that I just can't let go. It's great. There's this one band out that's called Napalm Death. And it's so hilarious. I mean, I listened to this album. I started listening to this album, and it was literally, I'm not exaggerating, that was it.
That's the most 90s thing you could possibly watch. Speaking of free speech jail, April 24th, 2007.
Smell flakes.
April 24th, 2007. Good, good, sweet boys, Marduk. Released Romans 5:12, taken from the passage of the Bible, the letters to the Romans, which reads, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned." This is the Accuser, Opposer by Marduk.
These guys are literally consume Ann Coulter.
Yes. Wait, what?
Talking about free speech jail. I'm saying free they would literally jail. Consume Ann Coulter, who is the current subject of free speech jail.
Well, like,
even though it's a different thing.
It's a little different. Anyway, this is amazing, as you would imagine. A lot of black metal this week, as we were talking, as we got in.
That's ideal.
Which is interesting, because April 26, 2011, we had Def Heaven's debut album, Road to Judah.
Oh, boy. Your boys.
Released by Death Wish.
It's the boys.
So, yeah, let me speak on this, actually. I mean, that's amazing. I have to turn that down. But
time for a serious talk about Def Heaven.
I like Def Heaven, and I like Ghost Bath, and I like kind of some of that, like, I don't know what you call it, black gaze, shoe gaze, where it's like, take some death metal, black metal vocals, like the... I kind of like the scream vocals, but the more like... The wailing vocal. Yeah, there's something to it. And even like if you listen to Fenriz and stuff like that, it's like the unrestrained emotion, which is how you end up with like basically drama school bands. But I think that has a place in music. And I think that people can connect with it on different levels, right? And so when Def Heaven came out, they're like, well, it's like, it's black metal vocals, but it's like not, they're not screaming about the devil. Like they're just kind of, it's a little bit more laid back. The problem is like the reaction to it has kind of been mad, like angering to me. It's like, so here's a quote from RVA magazine reviewing it when it came out. It says, "The band produces long, incredibly beautiful black metal that, aside from the buried shrieks of the vocalist, doesn't have a drop of evil, noticeable valence, and that Def Heaven is sure as hell got a lot more with the genre than the newest batch of gauntlet-wearing Darkthrone worshippers." Oof. So, like...
Shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired, but, like, can you just say... Here's an easy review of stuff. Is like, first of all, this, especially in this genre of music, like, just metal in general... It's like when you start like picking and choosing and like saying this thing is objectively better than that thing, it's ridiculous. Because like out of everyone who listens to music, like say there's 100 people in a room listening to music, that's the planet Earth. 5 of you are listening to metal. So why would the 2 of you point at the 1 of you and say, that's not the good metal, this is the good metal over here? Anyway, this is Tunnel of Trees by Def Heaven off April 26, 2011.
Tunnel of Trees, not to be confused with Woods of Trees.
Not to be confused with Woods of Trees. Road to Judah. Because you got Rick Roll. Also important this week. This is the week that Rick Rolling first appeared on 4chan. Rick Rolling is 10 years old. I think the first post was mid-April. It's hard to internet date things, but of course, as we all know, Rick Rolling is sending someone a link and saying like, "Hey, check this out." And then it's of course Rick Astley's "Never Gonna Give You Up," an amazing song and fantastic video.
Who did Maya Walsh Rick Roll recently? And then they claimed that they weren't Rickrolled.
I don't know. The thing with Rickrolling is like... So, by the way, this video, this is the Vivo video, which is posted in 2009, so 2 years after the phenomenon started. How many views? Guess.
28 million.
300 million views. This is actually Tunnel of Trees. What I actually liked about the Rickroll phenomenon is it moved on from its early era on 4chan. Was when, instead of just putting the video, like, you'd have, like, people, like, submitting term papers where, like, the first line of every sentence was, "never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down." This is good. Like, this is, I like this. I like, I don't know if you're a fan of this type, but I really do like this.
Yeah, this is fine.
Nope. Yeah. Sorry.
Is that it, or do you have
more? I'm just going to let it play.
All right.
Just let it breathe for a second.
The Hawk Harrelson style of commentary.
I'm letting it play for a second because I forgot to cue up two things.
So you're not supposed to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a trick of radio. Just like back in the day when a 10-minute song got played on the radio, there was a reason the DJ would do that.
I love that song. Okay. Excuse me. April 27, 1984, Twisted Sister releases their debut single, We're Not Gonna Take It. It's a great song. There you go. Here's the video. I almost put this on the list exclusively to ask you the following question, which is, Matt.
All right, mister. What do you think you're...
Have you ever seen Dee Snider's Strangeland?
Yes, on television.
I have also seen it on television. What did you think about it? It was the trailer for Strangeland.
It was quite strange, indeed. I feel bad because, the guy reformed, and then the people turned him back to the dark side.
They turned him
back.
Like,
when he was wearing the sweater and, in a rocking chair, just chilling out, and then a mob showed up, and then he got bad again.
It's very much...
It was also, the very beginning of, the online sexual predator.
It is an online... It's a... Thinking back on this movie, so I think I saw it around when it came out. So this was 98. It's a horror movie. Dee Snider plays this kind of internet sadomasochist murderer who lures teens
onto body
in.
Modification.
He lures them in though via
internet chat rooms, right?
Internet chat rooms. So it's a great encapsulation of the
which is hilarious because a lot of people today in college would not be able to relate to this movie. Probably
no, I don't think so. I thought that movie was good because I think Dee Snider is a really
visionary,
ugly looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
And he's oddly muscular. So what an amazing bad guy Dee Snider would be. Yeah, and it is essentially I think, and Robert Englund is in it.
Right.
So what you were saying was he reformed. So he's
isn't Amy Smart in it?
Amy Smart is in it. Yeah. He's a reformed maniac.
Yeah.
Whereas Freddie was essentially a child molester, and then they were you are now going to be burned to death. It was they let him reform.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
Then he turned back. So he's Freddie.
Nice.
If you got
nice
a second
nod
chance.
To, yeah.
Second chance, Freddie.
Which they almost did in the remake. But then they didn't have the balls to go all the way.
Don't
with
do
it.
That. Yeah, don't do that.
There's a tangent to help you cue things up.
April 27, 1979, Black Sabbath fires Ozzy Osbourne and hire Ronnie James Dio. Amazing call. Good, smart stuff. later on, Ozzy talking about it. So they basically fired Ozzy in 79 and didn't go back to him till 97. It was just Dio and a string of other guys. Ozzy talking about getting fired. And replaced by Dio is, I think that Tony Iommi just thought I was a coked out idiot, and I respect his choice because it was true.
It's true.
This is your man Dio, probably one of the greatest metal singers, doing Lady Evil.
Lady Evil! That was Dio right there.
Yep. Oh, it's so good. Great song. Dio's amazing. Lastly today, last but not least, honestly, is German power metal band Powerwolf.
Of course.
You thought you could escape power metal.
I thought we had made it through a week.
You will never escape power metal. Released Bible of the Beast, their third studio album on April 24, 2009. Listening to this album, and I feel like Powerwolf was basically invented out of my mind because it's kind of cheesy 80s. If you listen to if you even just read the song tracks, it's very cheeky, weird sexual innuendo. On this album, they have a song called resurrection, and then literally ellipses, by erection. Ooh. But then it's just like, they're in a church and singing about the devil, but in a very 80s way. This is Midnight Messiah, which will end this week in metal history. Thank you very much. Hail Satan.
Is it coming? Oh, there it is. And now, a list of bands that you can see this week in metal. Tonight, at Ralph's. It's Faces of Bayon, Rosamov, Z28, and Wrought Iron Hex.
It'll be at the hamburger place near Ralph's. Just go in.
Do it. At O'Brien's, you can see Scalpel, Mindscar, Greyborn, and Toke. At Pete's Grill in Quincy, it is a tribute to the Homeless 12 to benefit Veterans Transition House, a homeless veteran shelter in New Bedford. You can see Force of Habit, Numinous, Bossa Nova, Shadowlinks, Beast Over Boston, and Full Metal Racket. Tomorrow, Sunday, April 30th, at the Middle East, it's Lions, Actor Observer, Dreamer and Son, and Too Late the Hero. Monday, O'Brien's, you can see Panzer Bastard, Poison Rites, The Humanoids, and Armpits. Charlie's Kitchen has Graviton, Omnia, and Slaughter Son. Tuesday at once, you can see Horizont with Dirty Sheets, Worshipper, and Psychic Wounds. And next Friday at 13th Floor Music Lounge, you can see My Missing Half, An Unction in Braille, Crepitus, and Act of War.
Nice.
So short week for you. Powerwolf is still going.
So good. Just so dope.
And I can use this to segue into your black metal song of the week.
Black metal song of the week. Unsurprisingly, based on how much of it was on this week in metal, is from Romans 5:12. It is Marduk, and it is Imago Mortis. And I want to point out to you people who are listening is that the man singing the song is a real person. He lives. He walks around. He goes to stores. He has to buy clothes and stuff. He's actually not a demon. So try to keep that in mind as you listen to the song. This is Imago Mortis off Romans 5:12 from Marduk. You do it. Black metal song of the week.
What's that?
Were you spooked out by that?
I was very spooked out. I'm very spooked out by Immortal, whoever this is that the YouTube video switched to. Pretty terrified. I'm going to close that. So, yes, that was a black metal song of the week. That was Imago Mortis off Romans 5:12. That reminds me of We Came as Romans all the time, which is not a good thing to be reminded of. Anyway, that was Marduk.
Correct. It reminds me of The Eagle starring Channing Tatum.
Fair enough. All right, now we got some time to fly through some Brutal Not Brutal because there's so many things that happen.
I know.
In addition to Fyre Fest,
we can save them. We can save some.
Nah, we got to stay current. First of all, let's see. Where should we start?
Chop and Steel.
Let's talk about Chop and Steel. And I just like to say, I'll let you get to the story, but I want to preface it saying, how the hell do you have, if you're allegedly a legitimate news outlet, how do you let this happen? Like, we wouldn't
let this happen. I wouldn't let
if somebody's like, I want to come on your show and talk about this, I would Google you first.
I would Google you first and find out you were comedians. On the joke.
So why don't you tell us what happened?
Chop and Steel are Minnesota comedians, and they're just, whatever, they're comedians. And they were...
I mean, when they're fighting with tennis rackets on you.
They got brought onto a morning show, like a local morning show.
Multiple morning shows. They got booked many morning shows.
And to show workout tips, and they build themselves as strongmen. And when the time came for them to show the work, you know, it's one of those shows after 9. And then when they came to show their workouts, they were just hitting each other with tennis rackets and stomping on Easter baskets. And these were their workouts. And then the people are like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. And he's like, you just find stuff around the house you can work out with. Just hitting each other with a tennis racket. But now one of the stations is suing them for
some sort of copyright infringement. I couldn't follow. You're the legal scholar.
They were suing them for presenting false information to their viewers. But it's it's not false. I mean, you could get in good shape by hitting someone with a tennis racket. It would just take a long time.
And the thing is, if you're going to sue them, you better start suing Dr. Oz and all these people.
Yeah, when is Dr. Oz going to get sued for telling people to drink cherry juice to cure cancer? Scumbag.
So anyway, Chop and Steel. Brutal and not brutal.
Chop and Steel are brutal. God bless those guys. Donate to their legal fund.
Yes. They should start one.
They were funny. They were comedians. They're like, yes, it was a joke. People laughed. I've watched those Wisconsin morning shows.
Speaking of jokes,
Bruins eliminated.
Your boy Donald Trump wants people to report illegal aliens.
I saw that.
And report illegal aliens, they did.
They did. They called the line allegedly. This might be another.
Because they launched it on Alien Day, right?
Yes. That's the thing. Yeah, they said aliens from space were coming.
Exactly.
Down. So
I really hope Oceano called.
I hope Oceano called and was like, "Yeah, that's right."
I hope Oceano got reported.
Yeah, that's brutal. That hotline is absurd. I can't even understand how that's... anyway.
Moving on. Let's talk about furries and lighten things up.
Yes.
So, there was a furry convention.
Yeah, always.
And they... I don't know how it works, but they donate to a charity. They have an event. They come together. They donate to charity. And charity of a recent furry convention was Pets for Vets.
Yeah. Like a service dog.
You won't happen what believe that. What happened next?
You won't believe what happened next. A nice old lady brought her actual dog.
She saw it going on. She saw an announcement for this furry convention. She didn't know what furry was.
Yeah.
She saw that it was benefiting Pets for Vets.
Yep.
And she showed up with her.
It's amazing.
Her doggo.
The concept of furries is a community of people who like to dress in basically mascot outfits.
Not cosplay, though. Like animals.
Anthropomorphic, yes. I'm sorry. You say. To dress as an animal. Yeah. So you put on your mascot outfit. But it's to represent your inner animal character.
Dogs and foxes.
Dogs, foxes. But then you could be mixed dogs and foxes.
And often has a sexual connotation too.
Yeah, it's odd. Yes. I guess some of it could be, but I think lot of it isn't.
No, it just tends to. People make fun of it because of that.
That's why you would make fun of it. But what's funny is this picture of this really nice sheepdog.
Yeah, just chilling.
Just sitting there with a big guy dressed as a dog who's also dressed as Link. It's a really good photo gallery. You should check it out. It's obviously brutal.
Obviously brutal. As is, I assume. And we're starting about tech pros and all these things I want to do, such as automate security with robots.
Yes.
Walking down the street or whatever, and they doesn't go too well when a drunkard just beat it up.
Just tackle them. So it's like these little...
Silicon Valley.
So it's almost like the robots... I think you've seen them, the robots the NFL has or some college, big colleges have, where it's it just kind of a running tackling dummy, and then the guy this is a great idea.
It's have you seen the South Park episode when they, I think it's when they go to get Kenny's ashes and they're sneaking, or no, maybe it's a different thing, and Cartman's making security bot noises, and then an actual security bot comes by.
Yes.
It was like that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It was it's still monitor security in a parking lot at the firm that made it. So there's a firm making robots to sell them as security robots, and this drunk guy tackled it.
With your juicer.
Which reminded me of my favorite story of all time, which was that hitchhiking robot, which was not a robot. It was a pile of junk that they were sending across the country, and then
somebody killed it.
The story was that two guys in Philadelphia like kicked it to death, which is like, good. Take your little cute robot jokes, get them out of here.
But when he beat up the robot, the alarm did go off.
Well, it works. I mean, it's like a well-designed product.
And then somebody stalled him while they called the cop, the real cops.
I can't imagine it would, unless he's like extremely strong. I imagine hitting metal with your shoulder is not good.
So brutal, not brutal.
It's brutal.
Robot beat up.
You gotta revenge. You gotta draw a line in the sand against the robots.
And all right, so Brutal Brunch here. We like to play a lot of local metal, local bands.
Oh yeah.
Occasionally we'll play like a Killswitch Engage, but that's about as big as we get.
Yeah.
Speaking of local bands, Metallica.
Yes.
Decided to have a local band contest in five different dates where like they couldn't fill out their entire lineup. And
are they on tour with Avenged Sevenfold?
Avenged Sevenfold, yeah. Volbeat, and actually another band that's good. Can't remember now. But there was a Foxborough date, and no local Foxborough bands got nominated for this contest.
Interesting.
But anyway, so like they kind of ranged. A lot of them were like bands that we kind of play. And then Local H was nominated for Chicago.
I don't understand that.
Who has been around since the 80s. Everyone knows their song Bound for the Floor.
Yeah. I mean, I like Local H.
They won this contest, so Local H is going to be opening for Metallica. So if you go to Foxborough to see Metallica, you will also see Local H.
That's fun. I like Local H. Good for them. Whatever.
Oh, I'm very happy for them.
Not but a very just heavy like, band, though.
But it's true, like, if, in the spirit of nominating a local band.
Local. Yeah, I know. It's a band that's been on MTV for a long time.
Yeah. Brutal, not brutal. Local H, opening from Metallica.
It's brutal because I like Local H. It's not brutal because it should have been
for those other bands
Big Gap and Nephilim somehow.
Yeah, it should have been Big Gap and Nephilim.
And then the crowd would have been like, what is happening?
If Foxborough, if the Pats had moved to Rhode Island, they could have been nominated in theory. Alternate timeline.
That's the thing. I would have loved that because I would have loved like Metallica like fans going and being like, these guys are too much for me.
All right. You mentioned it. Because yeah, we're going to talk about it. But
of course.
Bruins are eliminated.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Thank God.
They're bad.
Get out of here.
No good.
Get out of here, Brad.
Bad.
Spearing.
Bad, bad.
Brutal. Brutal that the Bruins are eliminated.
Who's your rooting interest now?
I would love to see Ottawa versus Edmonton.
Wow.
Stanley Cup.
Just the loser Olympics. Love it.
Although I'm all about Nashville right now. They lost late last night. Your boy Tarasenko.
I'm also going to support Nashville because I think Rusev likes Nashville.
Rusev legitimately
He's
likes
a big
the
Nashville
Predators.
Fan.
And they got PK Subban.
Yeah. I'm into it. Go Nashville.
There you go.
Go Preds.
We'll end things there. Wrap things up. That was Brutal Not Brutal. No Metalocalypse clips this week.
Sorry.
Maybe later.
It's a brutal error.
So that brings us to the end of the show. We got Mike on the mic standing by, ready there he is. Hop on. And we're going to end with some real local music. I'll let you pick, Matt.
Yeah.
Which of these two songs do you want? This one or this one?
Go back.
This one? All right. We're going to end with the latest from the band. Actually, this is interesting. The band Resonate, which includes former members of the band Age of N that is no longer around. They have an upcoming album called Discourse. Not sure when it will come out, but they released a two-song sampler. So we're going to play you the song Shadow Trap. And that's how we're going to end things here on Brutal Brunch. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, stay rural and enjoy the latest from Resonate. This is Shadow Trap. You've been listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Yeah. I believe that it is a contributing fact to our juvenile delinquency.
DJ Easy Ed's Variety Hour. 120 minutes of rockabilly, hillbilly, old country, 50s R&B, and vintage rock and roll.
I know what it does to you.
Friday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. alternating with Steve Harnish and the Bingo Show. Only here on WMFO in Medford.
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say.